You're listening to another exclusive interview on scorenotes.com.
Hello, everyone. Thank you again for tuning in to scorenotes.com. Today we have with us composer Gary Scheinman. Gary, how are you?
I'm good.
Well, what can you tell us about the music that was created for the video game BioShock?
One of the most interesting scoring opportunities I've ever had, frankly. Very much enjoyed working on it. I started at an initial phase, actually, over a year and a half ago, where I was hired for a few weeks to come up with some ideas, and none of which ended up in the game, but which really did help me sort of zero in, because what they asked for was something truly different and unique. And as I've said before, they really meant that this is a very unusual game, and they really wanted something that didn't sound like a typical game score or a typical film score. So it was a challenge. It was a challenge to come up with something unique, and it took a while, and they were patient. And so that process ended about, well, last February.
Since they wanted something so original, you really didn't have any areas where you could draw any references from. How did you go about creating the material? Is it a collaboration of different thoughts and concepts?
Yes, I mean, they showed me, the game was in a fairly primitive state in terms of being able to give me many gameplay movies. I'm in L.A., the Irrational Games is in Boston. So basically I went by, you know, reading a synopsis and some of the script of the descriptions of the game. It's a very scary game. I got a lot of screenshots. I just sort of immersed myself in it. It has this Ayn Rand sort of backstory, Ayn Randish, I should say, and there's a philosophical basis to it. It takes place in the mid-20th century, but we were thinking that the music should imply sort of early 20th century classical music. So just sort of really getting a sense that this is a scary game, but at the same time, it has a heart or soul, because it's first of all, the player is asked to make moral decisions, and in doing so, the gameplay evolves differently. But second of all, it is about a utopia that's built on the bottom of the sea in the 1950s, and it's in the 1960s by the time you arrive, the player arrives, and it has gone really disastrously wrong, and it's turned rather monstrous for a number of reasons. And so it's really almost like the best intentions of man gone horribly wrong. And so I thought that was an interesting way to, as well, not just to play the eerie and the scary, but also to have something kind of beautiful and sad at its center. So I wrote that theme, and I also wrote some very scary and eerie music. And it took a while, because scary and eerie can be anything. There's a lot of different possibilities of creating eerie and scary music. But I kept experimenting, and I had the luxury of working with someone who I'd worked with before. Her name is Emily Ridgway. She's the audio director at Irrational, and I'd worked with her on previous projects. She had a lot of trust in me. So it was a trial and error, and I literally remember the day that I sort of discovered it, because she kept saying, no, that's not it, no, that's not it. And one day I was experimenting with some very eerie ambiences. I'll use the term aleatoric. I'm not sure if fellow composers are listening here, but let's just say, for those who are not composers or are not familiar with it, the aleatoric is a very interesting sort of mid-20th century form of composition where you ask the orchestral players to improvise within certain defined parameters, and it creates very eerie background sounds. I mean, it's just very, they're asked to do random, eerie things, and it creates a great sound. It's very scary.
So they have a defined area in which they could improvise?
Yes, and I didn't invent aleatoric music. It's been used quite a bit by a number of composers. Not all that often, but certainly Jerry Goldsmith has used it. John Crigliano extensively in his few film scores is a master of it. So I was, but I think the unique element that I brought very eerie aleatoric sound, and over it placing like solo instruments playing sort of either a beautiful melody or something sad or something sort of atonal, and with solo violin or solo cello. And as soon as I played it, I said, this is it. And as soon as I played it for Emily, she said, that's it. That's the BioShock sound. So and as soon as I had that, as soon as I went, yes, that this is it, not all the music, that certainly doesn't represent all the music, but it represents sort of a core style of the score. And into that mix, I added a style of music called musique concrète, which is adding the sounds of the real world. So it could be the sound, you know, there's various levels in the game. There's seven levels or decks in the game. And each deck has a different purpose when the world was a healthy world, like fisheries where they'd fish for food. So in the fisheries, I would use the sounds, nautical sounds at times, and maybe alter them digitally to make them sound odd. They still would be the sound of a buoy bell, for instance, but it would be altered in some way to twist it a little. And that would just be part of the sound world that you hear, you know. So it was by combining these different styles that the uniqueness comes out of this from the score.
Yeah, it's a very creative and engaging landscape. It sounds like musical landscape. Now, as far as the pacing of a game, how difficult is it to kind of gauge that as you're writing the music for it?
Well, I was to a great extent dependent upon direction from the audio director. Really sort of describing exactly what they needed in any one moment musically in the game. So it wasn't like I was sitting there irrational and designing the sound, how the music would play in the game. I wasn't. I was creating the music based upon what I needed. And in essence, as a film composer does, and I've scored many films and television shows, you see a scene and you're serving that scene. I wasn't saying to them, oh, you need to have this event so that my music will work with it, or this is how the music should work in the game. Although I had some opinions on that, in any event, I basically went with what the audio director and what, you know, the game's director wanted in terms of the music. Does that answer that question?
Oh, absolutely. I was just curious because I would always think it to be somewhat of a challenge in the gameplay levels. You know, sometimes the music fits so well, and I was just curious how this particular creative team went about doing that with you.
Yeah, they told me what they wanted.
Yeah. Well, that always works, I think.
And I did it.
Now, what would you say is the very best thing about writing music for games?
Oh, there is a great deal of freedom for the composer because you're not locked to picture. Occasionally you are because there's in-game movies. There are a couple of in-game movies, very few in BioShock. In this case, there's some what they call scripted events, which means there are events that occur in the game that always occur the same way. The player can choose to walk away from them or not. But I'm digressing a bit. But that is scoring, in essence. I scored those. But in general, you're creating, you're sort of writing music in a much more free, almost in a way a concert composer, traditional classical composer would write. You know, you know approximate length of the music, and there's a certain feel or mood that you want to convey to who's ever playing the game. But in general, there's a lot of freedom. Now, with freedom can come responsibility and sometimes the blank page syndrome, you know. But I think I've gotten used to that. I find that I write a lot of different thematic elements in games, certainly a lot less so than I would in a movie or a television show, because the various levels sort of tend to want their own unique themes and ideas, you know.
Sure.
So it's a challenge. It's a different challenge. One of the cool things about it is that generally you have more time to score a game, and that's a cool thing because you really do have more time to think about it and to really give your all. And if a composer is up to it, he or she can write really their best music because, you know, it's not like you're cranking it out 2 or 3 minutes a day and without much time to think. You're just going with your first instinct. You have time to hone and polish the music. So that's also really a benefit of a game
Now, how encouraging is it to see so many game production companies embracing the use of orchestral scores with their game productions?
That's great. It's really, I mean, I write orchestral music. If you wanted a hip-hop score, you would not come to Gary Scheinman. You know, maybe they would. although I'm surprised when people sometimes come to me to write. But
oh, yeah? Well, do you have any unusual requests that you care to share with us at this time? Any different kind of requests that have come to your attention?
Well, I mean, right now I'm scoring Destroy All Humans 3. I have scored Destroy All Humans 1 and 2, and now I've been brought back to Destroy All Humans yet a third time. Now, each of those games, I don't know if you're familiar with them, each of those games are period games. They take place in a period, like the initial game took place in the 1950s, so they wanted the Day of the Earth Stood Still with Theremin kind of a score, very 50s, Hollywoodish sort of approach. And then the next game takes place in the 60s with a similar sort of request, and now I'm in the 70s. So there's the character, and it is a humorous game, but you play it seriously. The character goes to Vegas, or a Vegas-like place. So I've been writing this Vegas kind of music with lots of, wah-wah guitar and saxophones, and it's a blast, you know. It's totally cool with rock guitars and stuff. So that, you know, that is not the typical sort of thing. Now, going back to Bioshock, one of the cool things I was asked right there, because, and I may never ever get asked to do this again, but it was literally the coolest from a composer with my interests. I was asked, there is a character, an in-game character, not a real person, obviously, whose character is a composer. So the composer writes a piece of music at a critical in-game moment, and there's some important information that the player needs to find out during this concert, but he gives a concert, just like a little auditorium, and I was asked to write what a serious, quote-unquote, classical composer from that era might have written. So I got to write this really cool, you know, concert piece, like in the style of Rachmaninoff or Scriabin or something like that. And it's a very complex piece, and I recorded it at Capitol Studios, and it was great, you know, to get a really great pianist playing something that interesting and complex, you know.
Well, that again shows the dynamic nature of a video game, because it could go into many different directions.
Yeah. That's just a rare opportunity to write something like that. It just doesn't come along all that often. I don't know if I've just been lucky to get really interesting. And I say to some extent I have been. I've been getting sort of interesting games that have offered me really nice, very cool palettes to write this stuff for, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome. And do you anticipate an official soundtrack release for Bioshock in conjunction with the game?
There is a soundtrack that's being released with the special edition or the deluxe edition of the game. There is no separate soundtrack yet, although there is a possibility for that, but I can't speak. That's not happened yet, let's put it that way. I would certainly like that to happen, but there's an effort to pull that forward. As of now, there's no separate soundtrack.
I hope that's the future of game music, is that the works are more commercially released than they are now.
Yeah, I think there's certainly, I mean, there's a couple record companies that specialize in releasing game scores, and like film soundtracks, they're not going to be, you know, 1 or 2 million unit sales, you know.
Right.
You can certainly see, you know, if you have a really good score with a game that a lot of people love, you could easily sell, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 units, you know, in a optimum situation. So, yeah, I hope that's true, that is the case, and I am making an effort to put that together, but we'll see how that goes.
I wish you Godspeed with that. I'd love to see a release on that. And as far as your upcoming projects and such, can you tell us the location of your website so that listeners can stay up to date with your events?
Absolutely. It is my name, Gary, with two R's, Scheinman, SCHYMAN.com.
And as far as Destroy All Humans, the third installment, is that coming close to completion, or is that in mid-progress?
I'm about two-thirds, three-quarters done writing the music. I have an orchestral date that I'm setting for the last week of August. I'll be recording the orchestra then. So I should be done with it by the end of August, I would expect.
Very nice, very nice. Well, thank you for spending time with us today and telling us about BioShock.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.